There was one man who Jesus himself said was the greatest man born of woman. As we study through the life of John the Baptist, we will discover why God used him in such a powerful way. Join us now for today's study.
Did you know that John the Baptist delivered the first sermon preached in the New Testament? He was the forerunner of Christ. He is the message bearer of the Lord. And he comes with a very specific message. Now let's read just a little of it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. We read, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance.'" This is an amazing portion of Scripture. Now, one very unique thing is that this sermon, this message, is emphasized by every one of the gospel writers. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us different vantage points, emphasize different things, but all four of them cover the ministry of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, and John chapter 1. Now, that means this is something we're to pay very close attention to. Now, this is a very unusual preacher. You know, even today, people get enamored with the preacher himself, his dress, his manner, all of that. I think one reason that John the Baptist was such a plain, simple man, living in the wilderness, wearing camel hair, eating so simply, very, very unique and different from the people, is that the emphasis, the attraction, was not to be him, it was to be his message. If I could give you one practical application of this, never allow yourself to get so fixated on the preacher that you miss the one the preacher's coming to talk about. Some people, of course, are going to like certain preachers better than others as far as style. But the real issue is not style. The real issue is substance. We don't know much about his voice inflection. We don't know much about how long his sermons were. We don't know much about how much personality came out in his message. What we know is the truth that he came to deliver. And I would say to you, when you're hearing someone preach or teach the Bible, you're not after to know the preacher better. You're after knowing God better and knowing the Word of God more plainly. Now, John's message, though it is transitional, is also foundational. John's ministry, of course, is making a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so we're moving from an Old Testament prophet into the New Testament era and the coming of the Messiah. But first truths are also foundational truths. And the first truths given in John the Baptist's sermon are foundational, I believe, to the rest of the New Testament message and to all that Christ came to give. Now, this is the foundation upon which the rest of it gets built. Remember, God's truth endureth to every generation. That's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. If it's God's truth, it's not just true for them, it's true for us. Now, certainly there are dispensations of time and unique messages for certain periods in history, and yet there are applications for every period of time. Now, there are different groups of people hearing this first sermon. There are some people that are all in. As a matter of fact, that's a word used in verse 5. Went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. This is a message for all people. It's a message for publicans. It's a message for Pharisees. It's a message for soldiers. It's a message even for Herod. Think of that. God has a message for every man. Now, let me read to you a little from Luke chapter number 3. Now, this is the parallel passage, and it'll open it, I think, to your understanding. Luke 3 verse 4 says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." My friend, God's message is for all people. It doesn't matter what your financial state, your political view, your geographic location, your circumstance, God's truth is for you, and it meets every need. Listen to this verse, "Every valley shall be filled." That means Christ fills in every depression, every low place He lifts up. "Then every mountain and hill shall be brought low." That means Christ brings down every high thing, so He humbles those that get high. "And then the crooked is made straight." Christ straightens every crooked thing. The word iniquity in the Bible literally means crooked. Only Jesus can make the crooked straight. "And then the rough ways are made smooth." Only Christ can smooth out the rough places in life. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, is the only thing that can meet every need in every life. That's why the multitudes came. That's why people of every background and every part of society were attracted to John's message. Truth resonated. My friend, in our generation and in our nation, people don't need some new thing. They need the truth of God's Word. When people hear the truth, the Spirit of truth works in them. Something in them draws them. It's the power of truth. The truth makes people free. And that's why the multitudes responded in Luke chapter 3 and verse 10. And they asked, "What shall we do then?" That's why the publicans came to be baptized and said, "Master, what shall we do?" It's why the soldiers demanded of Him, saying, "And what shall we do?" That's why people were drawn to the message, because truth demands a response. Now, on the flip side of this coin, not only were there people attracted to it, there were some people repelled by it. Now, remember, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. John calls them a generation of vipers. Why? Because they came out of curiosity. They came for criticism. They didn't come because of a sincere desire to respond to the truth. And there will always be two responses. There will always be the response of people to a Bible sermon that they want more of that and they want to respond to it. And there will always be people who, instead of being attracted by it, are repelled by it. Now, I'm speaking right now to some of you who are preachers and teachers of the Word of God. Could I challenge you, stay with the truth. Stay with the foundational things. Stay with the message that God has given us in His Word. And you find many of those things, these first principles, in this first message given by John the Baptist. We're going to study that over the next few times together. But I'm speaking to many of you who you don't publicly preach and teach the Bible, but you regularly listen to it. You're listening to it now. Could I challenge you to keep an open heart to God's truth? To not allow yourself to get prejudiced against the truth because of the personality of the preacher or some idiosyncrasy, something you don't like. I'm sure there were some people that were put off by the way John the Baptist spoke or dressed or what he ate or where he lived. And yet, it was the truth, the truth, the truth that made the difference in the lives of people. And I want to say to you today, it is the truth that will make the difference in your life. It is the truth that will make the difference in the lives of others. Imagine fishermen and religious priests and dusty nomads. What did they all need? They all needed the same message. It was the message of God through His preacher. Would you pray today that God will use His preachers and that God will speak to you, that the truth will take root. And the next time we study together, we're going to look more carefully at this first sermon to find the unique messages found within it. And I want to challenge you to read it for yourself again in Matthew chapter 3 and ask the Lord to make the truth real in your own heart and life.
thank you for joining us for today's study. On our website, scottpauley.org, you'll find a link through which you can invest in the gospel. Would you consider giving a gift to help us extend God's Word to others? You'll also find many other encouraging resources. Until we are together again, may God help you enjoy the journey.